I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means it's time to buckle up. It's time to hone in because this is the John and Wayne Show. I think this is like episode 350 plus of the John and Wayne Show, which isn't enough. We're going to keep those numbers just going. Those are rookie numbers, Wayne. Those are rookie numbers. Oh, I like it, man. How you feeling today?
I'm doing good. A little bit, you know, rejuvenated. You know what I'm saying? And pretty fired up, man. And next week, training camp kicks off. So
it's time, man. Yeah, the rookies reported on the 16th. You got the vets reported on the 23rd. 49ers shaking up the way they do things a little bit, which I am totally cool with. And I think it's going to be fun. I don't think we're getting a lot of news early up front.
No, I'm not expecting any news, but I just want to see our boys in the red and gold. Like, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm most excited about? I want to see Ricky Pearsall in a regular jersey. I don't want no more blue jerseys. Yeah. And I want to see the same type of results and highlights and all that stuff, even though he's playing through contact. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, man, because then it'll give you more of a feeling and satisfaction to where, like, okay, he's ready. He's got the pads on. They can touch him. You know, he can still get open. He can get physical, you know, as they allow him to. So I totally
want
to
drink the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? I want to, but I'm just like, I'm a little hesitant.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being hesitant. Nothing wrong at all, man. That's perfectly normal. I'm all in the Kool-Aid. Like, I'm the blue Kool-Aid, too. It's the blueberry, blue raspberry.
There you go, man. I love it. Now, man, for those of you that don't know, Wade, he took his family on vacation last week. I'm going on vacation tomorrow.
Yeah. I bet you it was hotter on my vacation than it would be on your vacation.
There ain't no doubt about that, man.
Atlanta heat hit different, dog. that junk was hot.
I spent my summers in Atlanta. My dad owned a construction company. He framed apartment complexes. So every summer, I went and spent, you know, time with my dad working on freaking construction sites. And yeah, every single time I was like, why do you live here?
It's ridiculously hot, yo. I do. Southern like heat Atlanta, is different. Atlanta's different.
Now, today's episode is going to be a blast. One, we're continuing our NFC West positional rankings. That's going to be the second half of this episode. We got quarterbacks and running back rooms, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to disagree on some of these, I can guarantee you. But the first part of this show is kind of part two to what we did last week. Last week was grading Shanahan, which was a lot of fun. Go back and check that out if you didn't get a chance to catch that. But today, we're focusing on the defensive side of the ball. What is the confidence level in all of the 49ers defensive coaching staff? We're going to start with the DC, and we're going to go D-line coach, linebackers, DBs coach, even might even throw in some Brandon Staley if we got some time. 1 to 10 scale, 10 being most confident, 1 being least confident. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, before we jump into that, we've got a lot of greatness taking place in the chat. I want to say thank you to everybody that takes time to join us live. 49ers throwback, none better than this gentleman. He says, thanks for tuning in, faithful. Make sure you hit that like button, smash the subscribe button, the bell. Have a good day. That's what's up. We got Jax in the house. Wonderful to be with you guys. JP, Mike, this is awesome. Alex, we got a lot of fun people here. Now, we got some IU talk from Rob. He says, watching IU try to build leverage with these antics is like watching the epic fail video. man, it's getting.
You guys are funny. It's funny to me. It's so fun, you know, because players, he has zero leverage. Yeah. And let me just, you know, I just did a Instagram live, an Insta live, right? And so one of the people on the live
Dwayne Breezy.
Yeah, Dwayne Breezy. And they said that they don't like his actions. And so then I started to think, I mean, you know, that phrase actions speak louder than words type of thing. You know what I'm saying? And then I thought about what's the root word of action? It's act.
Act. You got to do something.
So technically, he's probably acting. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon Ayuk in a movie. He didn't make the Receiver movie, right? Which comes out tonight. Tomorrow, July 10th, right?
Excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that tomorrow. But here's the cool thing. You know, he's out there acting. And so either you're into entertainment or you're not. You know what I mean? And the crazy thing is he's not saying anything that's, I hate to use the word, like incriminate himself of not being a 49er. He's just doing a couple of things that's making people use their brain cells.
So, trying to ramp up the pressure of the social community to put on the team.
There you go.
That's what he's doing.
It never works. I think if you're a diehard Niner fan, you know it doesn't work that way. Not with the John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan regime. But I can't front. I just, you know, when it gets to be too much, you know what I do? I just turn it off. It's almost like how I felt about reality TV. At one point, I was in it. I used to be on it. Yeah, I was in it. Right. And then I was like, this is too much. Love and hip hop got to go. They can't have a Love Hip Hop every freaking city in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Brandon and I used on his Love and Hip Hop stuff right now. So either you're into it or you're not. So if you're not into it, just click, turn it off. Watch the John and Wayne show. There it is.
Yeah, it reminds me. I don't know if you ever watched Arrested Development.
Of course I watched Arrested Development. Wait a minute. Yes.
Tobias and his wife are like in marital counseling. And like they're like, man, it's kind of like those couples that trick themselves into having kids thinking that it'll fix all their problems. And,
right.
And Portia goes, does it work for them? And he goes, oh, never. But it might work for us. Yeah, that's kind of what it reminds me. What's up, RTP? Rob D right here. Hashtag BB.
Hey.
President. That's never. My vote.
Nah, that's man, I can't do it. You see all this gray hair? What color would my hair turn if I ran for president? Like, would it go back to black again? If so, I'll try. I'll sign up.
That's what's up. A JP in the chat. What's up, Yacek? Appreciate you guys coming all the way out from New York. Look at this. We even got the cowbell. Need more cowbell. Love the SNL reference. And Phil, I'm with you, Phil. Appreciate the super chat. He says, morning, y'all. I'm tired of all this IU stuff, too. Just let me know when he gets his contract.
Bingo.
Till then. Man, you just kind of, you put the pause button and you just move on. And it's kind of what it is.
And so. Uncle Phil, technically, he's under contract.
Yeah.
So.
Could be under contract for 2 more years without any say-so from
him. It's 14 or this year, be 25 next year. So.
Yeah. Ain't too bad.
Not shabby at all.
Yeah, just look at T. Higgins. Just look at T. Higgins.
I think the only issue with that, though, right, would be the guarantee. Like, it's almost like having that guarantee. Like, God forbid something happens to Brandon Ayuk. He's just going to. So that's why Brandon Ayuk is forcing this contract extension. For those that don't understand what's going on, it's not about the fact that he just wants to get paid the most money. He wants to get paid money plus the security of knowing he's going to have a job in the next few years, opposed to playing this year. God forbid something happens to him. Guess what? That hurts his contract next year. And so, like, I get what Brandon Ayuk is pushing for, but at the end of the day, you know, they got to come to an agreement. And until then, training camp.
There we go.
Which he will be at.
Shout out to Paul Hope. What's up,
Faithful? Good, bro.
Yeah, that's right. Go check out the Faithful UK podcast if you haven't already. It's about as good content as out there and some of the coolest dudes I've ever met. So much fun. Sin, what's up, girl? We got Bobo. Man, everybody's showing up. Everybody ready, man.
Yes.
People ready.
I'm glad we're going to keep this consistent. I like this.
So, all right, let's get started. We've got a lot more comments. I'm not going to be able to get through all of them, and I freaking love it. You guys are the absolute best, and I just want to say thank you. Let's do this. Let's start off with the head dog, the defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. He is the new 49ers DC. Now, I would be remiss if I don't say, like, where were we with Steve Wilks last year? I know it wasn't what everybody wanted. It went to terrible in the second, you know, you look at the playoff stretch, defense was god awful, but we did finish with the number three overall defense last year. We led the NFL in fourth quarter points, led the NFL in interceptions. Not like we had a bad defense last year, but we were used to having the best defense. So, Wayne, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the least, what is your confidence in the new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen?
I mean, I think it's, you know, it's at an 8, because here's my thing, right? I don't think there's only one way it can get worse, and he's getting and inheriting the same players that Wilkes had. And then he added, you know, they got to draft some new players, right? That he feels like a fit his system that he specializes in when it comes to the secondary. So when you look at Renardo Green and those guys like Malik Mustafa and those guys, like, I think he's going to be just fine. And he's getting back, you know, Talanoa Hufanga. He's getting back some players. So it's at a strong 8, but I think it can get to a 10, but I got it at the Ooh. 8 only because for me, you know, it's this still area of you know, there's two levels to where, like, will it be good? Will it be? I don't know. So that's why that 9 and 10 is out. But I think he starts off with an 8 because if you look at what he's bringing in, that's key. And another thing that everybody's not remembering is he's been a part of this regime for a minute. So it's not like they're bringing an outside guy in. It's just his first time. And if we would have did this kind of exercise back when we did the D'Amico Ryans, it would have probably been, you know, a 7 or 8 too. You know what I'm saying? Because of the type of defense that he had, and he's been in the system. So I think the fact that Nick Sorensen being in the system helps a lot, you know, for me and my.
I like rating. That. Now, I want everybody in the chat, I want you to put your number in. How do you feel about the new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, scale 1 to 10? How confident are you in him? Now, I went lower. I went with a 6.5, not because, you know, anything negative with him. It's just he's never called plays. And so, I started in the middle, like, all right, 5. We don't know what we're getting. But because he's been in the system, because he's got an all-pro at every single level with Bosa, with Warner, with Hufanga coming back. I think he'll be back week 1. I think that helps. He returns all 3 positional coaches who we're going to talk about. That kind of bumped it up a little bit to 6.5. Now, I put this out on Twitter just right before we went live. And, man, it's got a lot of votes already, which is awesome. You can't do 10, 1 through 10 Twitter poll.
Right.
You can only do 4 options. So I did very high, kind of high, kind of low, very low.
I hate when they force you to be creative in how you want to write. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know.
Let me do 10. Let me do 1, 2, 3, 4, 10.
Totally dig it.
Just saying. So the most, 55.7% with just over 345 votes, says kind of high. That's the most. Kind of low is at 25%. Very high, 15%. Very low, 4%.
So my number being an 8, would that be kind of high? Like, I feel like 7 to 8 is kind of high, and then anything higher than that is very high.
Yeah, you're right on the edge of very high to kind of high, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're right in between there. I think I'm kind of high at 6.5, but the majority being, like, you know, I think this is anywhere between kind of a 3 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that's where people are. And, you know, you look at the answers that are out there, you know, we've got a 6 from JP, 8.2 from Bid. Yeah, I like these. Thomas says 5 until he proves otherwise. I think that's fair. And, I mean, if we look back on Wilkes that are like, oh, he was trash. And it's like, dude, we had the number 3 defense. Like, there were a lot of positives. I understand it probably needed to go. It wouldn't fit with Shanahan. I think that was an issue. Bobo right here, he says, I give it a 6 because Kyle Shanahan went with the yes man. He sure as hell did. Kyle Shanahan is in charge of the defense. Kyle Shanahan is in charge of the drafting. Kyle Shanahan is in charge of free agency. Kyle Shanahan's in charge of special teams.
He's the new
Shanahan
Bill Belichick,
is
man.
Everything.
Like, he is. He's the new Belichick at the NFL. The only thing that he's missing is Super Bowl rings.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if there's another coach in the NFL that has as much power.
And that's what I meant. So I'm glad you said that because people were probably going to be like, what the hell is he talking about? No, we're talking about authoritative, authoritator. That's the word. My South Park. Like that, he has it.
My authority.
He has that. Like, you know, and we know John Lynch is the GM, and they butt heads. They do. You could tell.
Oh yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, because it's what Kyle wants. And so look, because I always talk about Kyle and micromanaging. This is part of his complex, right? He has to be able to micromanage. But what I think Kyle does do, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, is he gives you the chance. You know, you just don't want to mess up the chance. Steve Wilkes would have been fine if he did not F up in that Minnesota Vikings game right before the half. Now, if the play would have executed perfectly, Steve Wilkes would have been...
Charberry Ford had his hands, both hands on the ball.
If that was an interception opposed to an interception snatched out of his hand, everybody would have been on Steve Wilkes, you know. But that didn't happen. And then the energy just left the Niners after that, and then they lost, right? So, to me, that's when Kyle was like, you know what? I'm going to be in on the meetings. Now, I think that's what Staley is for, to be in on the meetings and to report back to Kyle Shanahan. And so, he can focus more on his offense. But I like Nick Sorensen. I know I've never seen him coordinate a defense before, but I go with the guy that the players like. And I know we did this before with, Tom Sula, when the players loved him, but he was a head coach. It's something totally different. We're talking about just defensive coordinating. And so, you know, you hear the defensive players rave about, oh, yeah, man, he's been here. And so I think that's the difference, right? We're not factoring in the fact that he's not really trying to change up anything. He's actually trying to let the players go back to firing off the ball, playing with, you know, how they normally play. And so I think that you'll see a change right away. And that's why I got him at that 8, man. I can't put him any lower. I know I haven't seen him prove anything, and I don't disagree with any of you guys. But for me, it's kind of hard to screw up when you got these all-pro players that can help carry you, you know, and carry your defense.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this. I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in. You pick your portfolio. It goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition, now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42mm marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean, now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's weird. I feel like there's like no pressure on Nick Sorensen because he's going to do exactly what Shanahan wanted him to do. Mm. And if it doesn't work, it ain't on him. Like, hey, Shanahan, like, let's say he does exactly what Shanahan wants and it doesn't work. Then you can go, look, man, let me call it. Let me do my thing. Like, he's got grace period. I don't think Wilkes had any grace period. And so, obviously, now he was fired within 1 year and they made the Super Bowl. But I think Sorensen is going to be around for a little bit. And they interviewed for him last year. Right here, shout out to Kawa Chapito. Sorensen was who they wanted last year, but he's still pretty much green as a coach. I agree. But they did interview for him last year. RTP, same here, Breezy. 8 for me, no regression. I like that. And on top of it, and they're kind of moving in the same direction. They also interviewed another coach that's on this staff for the defensive coordinator position, the DB coach, Daniel Bullocks. So it's the same thing the way they draft. We're going to draft somebody, Aaron Banks. You sit in the wings, young pup, and you might get your chance. And then a year later, yep, Lakin's out. You're in.
You're in, yeah.
It's the way they do things. And so why do anything different with coaching? It's Shanahan is Shanahan. Like, you've got your guy waiting in the wings, and you've even got another guy, which I don't want to jump to yet.
But see, I think he gets the opportunity, John, to coach. I think the issue with Steve Wilkes was that he was changing the philosophy of the defense. And it was not, even though the pressures were up, the results weren't there. And so they got gashed in on the run in the power run game. I thought they were really good at containing the quarterback in the outside zone runs, but they could not stop the power runs up the middle. And so, like, that's why you would see these big gashes. And then we were terrible on third down again. Like, that was kind of like back in the Robert Saleh days, right? And so, like, I just feel like when it came to Steve Wilkes, like, he had the ability to run the plays, to do what he was doing, and then it got snatched from him. Like, give me back the power. I'm just going to micromanage. I'm going to oversee it and whatever. And I think that took a toll on Kyle Shanahan. So just being prepared to move forward in the future, I think, Kyle, that's why I promise you that's why Brandon Staley was hired, to be that liaison in the middle to where Kyle doesn't have to sit in the room. So I think Nick will get the opportunity to show what he can do, but I think he'll have, you know, he'll have the training wheels there just in case he need to put him back on the bike or something if he ain't ready to ride. Like, you know what I mean? And that's where Kyle and Brandon kind of come in. But I think Nick's going to get the opportunity. In fact, he has a rapport with a lot of the players, and he's been in the system. We're talking about Steve Wilkes, who had zero experience in Kyle Shanahan's system.
Yeah, it was different. And somebody had a comment that, like, we ruined his reputation. Here, Bobo. We ruined Wilkes' reputation. Now, part of that, like, he doesn't have a job right now because every single position was filled. Mm-hmm. Every position was filled. You know, that's, I think, one of the worst things in the NFL is you let all these teams hire before the Super Bowl, and the teams that make the Super Bowl are penalized because you can't replace anybody because every job posting is filled. And so, like, that's a problem. That's a big reason why you had to hire from within, because all the DCs and OCs and, you know, whatever, they're filled. Steve Wilkes' reputation is above so much. He will get plenty more jobs, but we're still paying him. So enjoy your time off, and you go to a spot that, I mean, this dude's got 20-plus years in the NFL. His reputation is what it is. His name is his name. just finished rewatching The Wire, and I can't help it. And my family has never watched The Wire, and so I give all these references, and they just go into an empty void. It's what it is. All right, now let's shift. Oh, there we go. Man, what a great character. Great character. Let's go D-line, okay? And I want to start this conversation from my man, Aaron R. He asked me this. Is Chris Kucerik getting enough scrutiny? Has he developed anybody recently that has panned out for the 49ers.
It's so weird, right?
We went from him being a DC to being the best position coach in the NFL to, man, nobody's really getting better. I don't know if you feel that way. What's your confidence 1 through 10 in Chris Kocurek, the D-line coach?
I mean, I feel like Kocurek's name is what keeps him at a mid to high level, because I think the key was getting. I wonder if when it comes down to Kocurek, I wonder if it comes down to the type of players that he get, because we've watched Kocurek take players that we brought in as free agents and turn them into contractable players to where they either got a contract extension from the Niners or to a different team. And they get paid, right? We watch Chris Kocurek do that. If you look at that, that's Chris Kocurek. Now,
RDP, Omenihue, Ebukam,
you already know where I'm going with
Farrell.
This. Like, right. And so, like, you can't say that he doesn't develop players. But now when you're talking about guys like rookies that are coming in, that's a little different conversation. And then the Drake Jackson situation, I mean, how much of that you got to factor in how raw he was when he came in and then the injuries? And it just seemed like the injuries plagued him a little bit. We don't know what Robert Beal Jr. is going to be right off the top. And I wonder how much Nick Bosa really changed Chris Kocurek. Like, did it change the way he talked to certain? Does Nick Bosa get kind of like favoritism in practice? Or does he chew his ass out? I'm curious to know if he's consistent when it comes to the defensive line. But here's the thing. We can say that he doesn't develop players all we want. And players want to come here and play on this defensive line. I wonder why. Like, I wonder why they want to come play for Chris Kocurek. So, he's an 8 for me. Like, he's at an 8 level for me. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think he ever will go lower than an 8. We're still producing. The sacks aren't there. But how much of that has to do with the philosophy? So, if we're talking about Chris Kocurek from last year, then we have to factor in Steve Wilks. Because that's the philosophy he was told to use, to work with. A little
and,
different.
I would say Nick Bosa was probably the most outspoken against Wilks from day one, every time he could. And still, now we're back to what we do. Now we're back to play what we play. Like, Bosa is not mixed words, whatever. It's kind of like the Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan thing.
Right.
Like, he's throwing shade consistently. I had him at a 7.5.
Oh, that's close.
We're right next to each other.
Yeah, super
and
close.
George says used to be a 10, now it's a 6. I'm curious what everybody else. What's your confidence level in Chris Kocurek, our defensive coordinator, 1 to 10? Throw that in the chat. Now, here's what's crazy to me. You brought up Drake Jackson. Drake Jackson's 23 years old.
He's still a pup.
Drake Jackson is 2 years younger than Robert Beal Jr., our rookie last year.
He's still a pup.
Still a pup. Go ahead.
No, I just feel like the Drake Jackson situation is being set up. I think the Niners knew what they were doing. And I think they still know what they're doing. And I think shutting them down last year was a way to...
Back-to-back years.
Back-to-back years were ways to keep him on this roster for the time when he's needed. Like, because you know how it works. The accrued seasons, the all that type of stuff, the contracts, you know. And so for a second-round pick, right? Like, this works in the Niners' favor. Like, right? And so who else is – never mind. I don't want to get into that, but I think Drake Jackson, when given the opportunity, will show and blossom because he has the gifts. He has the skills. He just needs the reps. He just needs the consistency.
I want him as a pass rush specialist.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong
with being – 8 to 10 snaps a game.
There's nothing wrong with that, though, right?
No.
Can we, you know what, John? I wish when we got to do an exercise on an episode where we just list pass rushing specialists in the NFL and who are some of the top ones, because there are great ones.
Yeah. The D Ford role, we've seen it in this defense. We've seen it. Now, he's not D Ford, but you could use him. Now, the problem is I just brought up Robert Beal Jr., who I think is better suited for that role, but you got two guys for that role. If one of them works.
That's funny that you said that. I feel like when you put them two together, you get D Ford. Now, when you take them apart, you get parts of what D Ford was. Because D Ford, to me, had the size and the speed. I feel like Drake Jackson has the size. Robert Beal has the speed. Yep. That's why I said that. So it's going to be tough. But, hey, in place of that, We have our defensive specialist on the opposite side. His name is Leonard Floyd.
That's what's up. I like these answers. Jack says, this is everybody's rating on Chris Kucerik. We got a 7. CJ says 8. 7. 8.5. Carlos says 7. 7.5. 8. Dave, 8. And here's the crazy thing. If we would have asked this 2 years ago, everybody would have said 10, 10, 11.
100%.
11. It's changed.
You guys, y'all got to factor in the personnel, too. So, like, personnel, meaning the players, it changes up things. And so I know a lot of people say we struggle up the middle. Well, we got lighter in the middle too. My issue with the middle was the fact that they were power running up on us. And I just don't think we had the same type of girth up the middle to take on those blocks. Right. And so we got finesse guys that can get to the quarterback. But when you're talking about soaking up the blocks, now you got these guys getting pushed back in these one-on-ones, and then your linebackers can't properly fill these gaps. And so you got the offensive lineman getting to the linebacker. So that comes with just having the right players. I think the Niners figured that out. They went and got Malik Collins in a trade, and then they went and signed Jordan Elliott. Those are, to me, they're not super big, but they're bigger. And so, like, I'm curious to see if that changes. And then I think his number will go back up to a 9 or 10. Pause.
I think so, too. I like that. I think his best development he's ever done in his entire career was DJ Jones. Because DJ Jones.
But you didn't mention him when I mentioned the players getting paid, I don't think. And that was the main player I was talking about.
Okay. Because for him, he wasn't an outsider. Like, we drafted and developed. Right. Those other guys were mercenaries.
Got you.
But DJ Jones was bad for a year and a half. People don't remember. He was not good. And then you saw a couple flashes. That junior year was like, oh my God. And then his third year. And then his fourth year was impeccable, and he went and got paid, and he's still playing well. So that was the trajectory. That's what we need now. And if I could have, you know, we talked about the defensive ends, man, if you could tell me Evan Anderson or Kalia Davis, both of which every time Chris Kucerik talks about him, he says DJ Jones 15 times. If you get one of those guys
to give you that production, yes.
This
and I feel like Kalia Davis fits the bill. The question is, can he stay healthy? And I love Evan Anderson, but he's an undrafted guy, so he has a longer shot of making this roster. But he's strong, and he's powerful.
Evan Anderson's making this roster.
He's powerful. You want a guy that could get to the quarterback at that size? That's power. And he can chase down runs on the outside, too. I don't know if you peeped that. So that means he's got speed.
He's my undrafted free agent, man. And which there's one every year, and, you know, whatever. And I get it. He's paid the most, so, like, whatever. Like, you watch his tape and it's like, man, there's a role for this dude on this team. There's a role. And so I'm saying Everett Anderson's going to make this 53. We'll see what happens. I could be way wrong, but who cares? Now, before we jump to the next one, just real quick, if you want to go to the 49ers season opener, Jets at 49ers, club level tickets between the 20s, guess what? We're giving away 2 free tickets. All you got to do is head to the49ersrush.com. It's in the link in the description of this video or audio. And again, it's very simple. You can buy one entry for $20 or you can buy 3 entries for $50. If that's not your thing, cool. Don't worry about it. But if you want to try to enter into this to win some tickets, that is available for you there. We had a question, which I really wanted to get to, Thomas. I appreciate this. He says, John, you're, talks about me being a coordinator. In my coaching experience, how would you feel if you had a coach overseeing you like Staley? Look, my first time calling a defense was sub varsity, right? So, like, where I coached at Duncanville, you have varsity, you had 3 JVs, and you had up to 5 freshman teams. And so, like, it was sub varsity. It went on the varsity level. And the varsity DC would be out there, and the head coach would be out there on the sidelines too, and you're calling or whatever. And you got to check your ego. Like, it's not about you, it's about the team. And the headset talk is different than, you know, whatever's going on out there. And I remember the first time the DC, I still remember this, goes, hey, man, if you switch your front call to that counterattack, it'll shut it down because we were getting killed by the counter. I didn't really know how to stop it. Yeah, I was a pretty young coach. And we flipped it, and it stopped it. And all of a sudden, I was just like, all right, I need to learn more. I need to listen more. Check your ego at the door. And Shanahan's been recording every single meeting since he showed up here. So if ego is what you're about, you're not going to fit in this system anyway. And whenever Nick Sorensen was hired and they asked him why he was hired as DC, what was his answer? You got to ask Kyle. It's what it is. So if ego is huge in the coaching world, there's no doubt about that. But
I think the ego is cool. Not cool, but I think it's more accepted at the head coaching position.
Yeah.
And then everybody else just has to be like, yes, sir. You know what I mean? I think, and then when you become a head coach, you could choose to go down the path you want. You want to be the egotistical one, or do you want to be the one that's cool, calm, and collected, and willing to try? At the end of the day, it's your plan. So whatever is going to make your plan work, your vision work, that's what makes it, you know, it makes it happen. So how do you choose to go about it? Some people are micromanagers, and some people are just chillaxed and be like, hey, man, just do your part. We'll be good. Like, that's you. Like, you know.
And I'll say this, too. If you're Sorensen, dude, if I just do my job, let the players be the players, keep Shanahan happy, I'm going to be a head coach making 10-plus million a year. It's
look at the track record. Just look at the track record.
So if I'm Kyle, I'll be like, listen, you check yourself. Like, I will ruin you. And he could. He literally could. I think Shanahan's fired like two coaches, like Rick Scangarello and Steve Wilks. I think that's it. Everybody else, he just like, let's walk. But like, he fired two guys. Like, Shanahan takes care of his people and he gets everybody paid. So it's kind of, it's not like he's screwing people over. But yeah, he's kind of a jerk. It's what it is. It's a Shanahan experience, man. Now let's go linebackers, baby. Johnny Holland, Wayne, 1 to 10. How do you feel about Johnny Holland?
I mean, it's got to, why am I just with these eights, right? Because you got to look at, see what he developed. He developed three linebackers, right? And then there's some guys that we're waiting to see be developed. Who are my three linebackers? Well, you got to go with the All-Pro Fred Warner. You got to go with, to me, he would be an All-Pro if we could just find a way to stay on the field. That's Dre Greenlaw. And then you got to talk about what he did with Azeez Al-Shaair. And I think he clearly just gets linebacker. I think he knows the type. He has a type. And if he gets that particular type, he can continue to tread the system and get it the way it needs to go. So now the question is, can these younger guys that we got, you know, the D Winters, the Jalen Grahams, not the veterans that we still re-sign all the time. It's about the young guys we drafted. And I think Tatum Bethune, even him, like, I want to see what these kids can do. And I think Johnny Holland has proven, you know, he can get these linebackers up to par, especially if they have some type of a trait that he's used to working with, you know, just a little thing. So we'll see what happens.
I love that, man. I said 9. I'm seeing in the chat how people are rating Johnny Holland. We've got 10, 8, 8, 9, 9. Holland's a 10. It's pretty impressive. Like, this dude, he's done it. He's done it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Now, who's the number three? If you could develop a number three that's not DFF, please, Lord. I do not want to see DFF out there as the number three linebacker, and I think it's going to happen. And that's
Think that's your number three linebacker. I think it's Campbell. I think that's not the guy you signed.
But the early on, right?
Oh,
so let's say
yeah.
Campbell's
okay.
two. He's your
I
Will.
Got you. I get
who's
what you're
going to be the starting Sam early on?
I think D Winters, per Fred Warner, is having amazing OTAs. If he can take that next step up, that's
gosh,
key, because now you got another linebacker that can cover, that can play the middle of the field, that can pick interceptions. The question is, can he shed blocks and stop the run? I think this is what it comes down to, because that's the hardest part, because teams are going to run. And so can he do that? If he can, cool. But does Jalen Graham make the leap? Does Tatum Bethune stand out? These are the guys that you know, it's going to be interesting to see.
My favorite thing is Fred Warner's behind D Winters. And when D Winters made like an interception during OTAs, like Dre Greenlaw ran on the field in his boot like a goofball. Like the guys, the legends are behind him.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
Like,
it's exciting to watch that system continue to just spew out stars. Yeah.
I hope. We need one. We just need one more. One more. That gets me excited. I'm always excited about linebacker. I think we developed that position better than any other position.
Any position on the team. I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Daniel Bullocks, the DB coach, absolute stud. We've got more depth than we've had at the DB room. Shoot, nickel, outside corner, safeties. 1 to 10, what do you give them?
This is a weird one for me.
Okay.
Because I feel like I got him at a 6 or 7.
Ooh. He was interviewed for the DC job.
But hear me out, though. I don't know how much Steve Wilks, like, upgraded that DB's room. And so, with the tutelage of Steve Wilks and him being under that, he was at, like, an 8 or 9. Like, right? Because we watched our guys play. Now, Steve Wilks being gone, does Daniel Bullock continue to soar at that level with these players because they're another year under his system? So that that could be possible. But I think I'm going to go with a 7 here for Bullock's. I'm curious to see how he turns out with some of these younger guys, some of the free agents that he brought in. Is Jotam going to be the 3, which I believe we talked about that. Like, I'm just curious to see, can he help develop guys like Darrell Luter Jr.? Is the Ambry Thomas project over with? Like, so many little things, like, you got to factor in. And I'm just curious to see what Daniel Bullocks can do without having the defensive coordinator of the mindset of a secondary, which was Steve Wilks.
I like that. I like that. Ed says, what's up, man? Finally caught a live one. I love it. Let's go chip. That's what's up. I had Bullocks at an 8, so I'm higher on him than, I mean, this dude is so in line with his players that when Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles, he tore his Achilles on the sideline too.
Yes.
In the Super Bowl. That's what I'm talking about. That's committed coaching, being sarcastic, of course. But I don't know. And I think, you know, you talked about Steve Wilks. The guy that was coaching Nichols last year was Nick Sorensen.
It's Nick Sorensen.
So you lost your DC and you lost your Nichols coach. We're going to see Bullocks this year. This is a big. Now, he's got Brandon Staley to help out a lot, which I'm a big Brandon Staley fan. I probably like him more than most. But yeah, I don't know. I said 8. We've got 7 here. 7 but ascending. 7. So I said 8, you said 6. 7's the consensus right there. And yeah, Invader, I'm 100% in on this, that Isaac Yadam might be your third down outside cornerback, move Lenore to the nickel. I think that's happening. That's just me personally. Isaac Yadam was the starting outside corner for the ones all of minicamp and all of OTAs because Ward was out. So that's where we're going. Oh, there we go. He says 8's too. So, all right, that's our kind of consensus defensive coaches. Anything left before we jump onto our NFC West ranks, Wayne, that you want to say about this defensive coaching staff?
I think the defensive coaching staff is, I don't know. I just feel like they're going to come out and they're going to come out on fire. They're going to come out energetic. They're going to come out fired up. They're going to, because the players, like, they're so in tune to their players. I think the issue last year was that you had an older defensive coordinator who just wasn't in tune with the players, right? And that's why the players wanted them down on the football field. I think it's totally different this year. The fact we're starting off that way, we're getting back to the basics, getting back to what we do, I think right there the defense is going to start out on fire. Now, we'll see what happens, but I just feel like the defense are in good hands with the coaches.
I like it. I like where we're at. I like the roster. I like the staff. The continuity with all three position-level coaches is very rare. We've kept them the same since 2017.
Correct.
That continuity, it's pretty impressive and rare, especially with all the guys we've lost. We'll see if that can continue. Now, before we jump to our NFC West ranks, you go into a game this year, you got to come hang out with us.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
All right. Now, I know Wayne is beyond excited about this. He's a running backs guy.
Running backs.
So here's what we do. And again, if you've missed, you can go listen to the second half of all of our Tuesday shows. We've done this. This is the last position group we got. We could talk head coaches and stuff. We're going to rank those next time. But we got running backs first. So I'm going to go through. I'm going to detail a running back room. Then Wayne's going to sum it up and help us understand what is there. Then we're going to rank them. This is going to be fun. So we'll spend as much time on running backs as you want, Wayne, because I know this year GM. Let's start with Arizona's room. We'll go alphabetical order.
Ooh.
Okay, James Conner is their starter. They don't have a fullback. In fact, the 49ers are the only team that uses a fullback in this entire division that even rosters one. But so you can figure that in however you want to. Michael Carter and DJ Dallas are their veteran backups. They go draft Trey Benson out of Florida State in the third round. Like, and they got Amari DiMicardo, who hit that big run against us last year. Sophomore running back. He's back. Tell us about this Arizona Cardinals running back room.
Pretty solid, pretty bang bang, right? You got they leading James Conner, man. The dude's a monster, and we know, right? We know he's a monster. He likes to get the ball. He likes to run. He runs hard to bring down. But then they go out and draft Trey Benson. So I know you talked about their depth, but now they're gonna have a nice little 1-2 punch with the rookie and the savvy vet. And then they have these specialty type of running backs, like the fast guy you talked about that bust that big run on us or whatnot. So I think they got a pretty solid room, man. If I had to give their running back room a grade, it's definitely a solid B for me. Solid B. I think James Conner definitely has great ability to be one of the top running backs in the league, depending on how healthy he stays. But I think that's why they addressed it and drafted Trey Benson out of Florida State.
Yeah, that's a good 1-2 punch. And man, James Conner had huge runs against this last year. They rushed for over 200 yards. James Conner hit one. Michael Carter hit one. Amari DiMicardo hit one. Like, Kyler Murray hit one. Like, they were running up against us. Yacek, he's got a question for you, Wade.
Yes, I will be in Buffalo, so I will see you guys there. We can take pictures, have fun, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, most importantly, get the dub, right? I think it's most importantly. Get that dub.
It'll be fun, man. We are partying.
December 1st. Yeah.
Adjacent. Our tailgate is right next to Bills Mafia official tailgate spot. Uh-oh. It's going to be one of the ages. And so, like, I'm not telling you to go to the Buffalo event.
Buffalo event.
Go to the but this th- we're paid more for this event that we have any other regular season event we've
ever
done.
Get your stuff, get your Rush Road tickets, get your Rush tickets now for the Buffalo event.
That's a once in a lifetime. If you're a football fan, it's a once in a lifetime.
And think about it. When the last time we played in Buffalo?
I don't know.
That's my point.
I don't know.
So be a part of history for sure.
Let's go. I love it. All right, let's go to the Rams. They're next up on the alphabetical list. Kyren Williams. Man,
this might be my favorite running back room.
It's a little biased, but definitely
I was going to start with Kyren. Listen, I liked what Kyren Williams did. Isn't he from Notre Dame? I like this kid. Like, this kid, when we first played him, I'm like, oh, we're going to stop him. Which we did. He couldn't rush on us. But this motherfucker could catch out of the backfield and was leaving us in the dust. Then he had a couple of touchdowns catching, receiving. I like this kid. I like Kyren Williams. You guys play fantasy football, you might want to think about, you know, because it's Christian McCaffrey. Then it's kind of like who you get, right? Kyren Williams might be that dude that's going to get Christian McCaffrey.
Health is the only thing.
The only issue with him is health. But they addressed that in the draft, and they drafted Blake Corum.
Oh, there we go. Hey, dude, you keep rolling. You feeling it. You go, man. I love this. They got Blake Corum in the third. They also had Zach Evans last year. They got two. They got Boston Scott from Philly as like
I remember Boston Scott. He's a strong guy.
And Ronnie Rivers. They got veterans. They got rookies. They've got young pups. They've got depth everywhere. This room might be a top five running back room in the NFL.
I don't know if they're a top five running back because you're basing it off of Kyren Williams and then what the other guys can do. We don't know what Blake Corum is going to do in the NFL. And those veteran guys are just in there to spell a play or two. God forbid somebody gets hurt. I don't see Boston Scott rushing for 1,500 yards, 1,400. I don't see that from any of the guys. So
yeah,
I don't know if there'll
Boston
be a top
Scott.
Five. Yeah,
I agree with you. But I'm just like, he makes me like just know like, oh, our running back room is fine.
I mean, listen, the Blake Corum addition is a problem because that motherfucker is too low to the gravity of the ground. Like, he's just hard to bring down, and he's tough.
He's the heaviest running back they got on their roster.
They'll utilize him around goal line for sure, and he's tiny, so he's hard to see. Like, it's going to be a tough one. Like, that's a tough one. I'm not saying that because I'm a Michigan fan, but I'm saying it because I'm a Michigan fan. I watched it. Like, he was tough.
That's what's up. Peachy, what's up, girl? She says, see off that Chiefs game, though. I love it.
Hey.
Gearsaw, what's up? She says, I will be at the Tampa game. John Wayne, will you guys be there? Let me just put this out there about the Tampa one. How do I say this? Yes, 100%. We're going to be at Tampa. I'm very excited about this one. One, like, Clearwater is one of my favorite places in the country. And if
that's
the 49ers,
where my credit card is from, Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, there we go. If the 49ers announce an official invasion event, we have a party planned where it would be next to where they would have their party. So we're not pulling fans a different way. If they do not, we're going to have a beach party out in Clearwater, Florida on the sand. Oh. So that one's going to be fun, but I don't ever want to pull fans away from each other because the 49ers invasions always 10-2 and ours is 2-6. So like we'll either buttress where they're at or we'll do our own thing out by the beach, but I don't want to pull people away, but we're 100% going to be in Tampa. That's going to be fun. Alberto, I hate to say this. I will not be in LA week 3. And I am so sad about that. I'm going to be in LA tomorrow. all right, let's get to the 49ers. None other than the offensive player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. You do have a fullback in Kyle Juszczyk, who was an all-pro for the first time ever. You got Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason as your veteran backups. You go out and trade 2 fifths for Isaac Garrido, fourth-round running back, and Cody Schrader. You know, everybody loves the undrafted free agent 49ers running back. Talk to me about this Niners running back room.
It's a tough room. It's a tough room because, you know, it's Christian McCaffrey, and then people keep forgetting that, you know, a healthy Elijah Mitchell is dangerous, right? I know the NFL doesn't forget, but the 49er faithful forgets. And then you add in speed with Isaac Garrido. You already got the girth and the power run of Jordan Mason. You brought in the free agent, Patrick Taylor, I think. And then you got this Cody Schrader kid who is trending upwards. And so I believe this is Jordan Mason's last year on his deal. It's
good. You got two more.
Or two more years? One more after this. Okay, so this year and the next year. So this is going to be interesting. Like, does another undrafted running back make this roster? That's where it's going to be tough for me. But, you know, you got the element, speed element of Isaac Garrido, which to me changes everything. And so for me, it's back to outside zone, then the power, and then the outside, then the power. And so I think the issue was trying to utilize certain running backs in power, right? And you didn't want to take Christian McCaffrey off the field because he was a threat in your pass game, your run game, and he kept the defenses guessing. And so you need him on the field. I think the key to the 49ers running back room, though, is going to be Elijah Mitchell's health. And if he's healthy, it's a wrap. They might have the best running back room in the league.
Yeah, I think it's definitely up there because you got the all-star, you've got veteran backups, you've got young high talented guys in the wings. It's just like, golly, it's exactly what you want it to be. Now, last room, let's go Seattle. Definitely not bad at all. Kenneth Walker, the third, he's a bruiser. They don't have a fullback, but Zach Charbonnet, this
like
might
Zach
be the
Charbonnet.
Best 1-2 punch. Like, I think he's the best backup or number two running back in this division. Go after that. Yeah, Kenny McIntosh, who they got
so
last
you think
year.
He's better than Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah, I would take Zach Charbonnet over Zach.
Are you sure?
100%. One, just the best ability.
Okay,
I think Jordan Mason's better than Elijah Mitchell. He has been back-to-back years. Yeah, over a yard per carry average, better. I think it was a yard and a half yard per carry average in the same situation in 2022. He was 1.2 yards per carry better in 2023. But I think that Elijah Mitchell does other things better than Jordan Mason. Pure running back, I'm taking Mason. Shanahan wouldn't, and he disagrees with me here. That's okay. But I would take Charbonnet. I would take him over any number two in this whole. What I think he's really good. I don't know.
I think he's really good. I know you got to factor in the health. But if that's the case, then if we're factoring health, then you got to factor in the health of Kenneth Walker because he's never healthy.
Facts.
So that's the reason why you got to see some Charbonnet, even more Charbonnet, due to the injuries to Kenneth Walker. So, like, it's hard. Like, are we factoring health or are we not factoring health? Because if we're not factoring health, I think Elijah Mitchell is the second best running back in the NFC West. Like,
you take him over Kyren Williams?
I'll take him over Kyren Williams. He does what Kyren Williams does, honestly. He's a 4-3 guy. He can catch out of the backfield. He's probably the best run-blocking running back in the NFC West. On top of that, he damn near rushed for 1,000 yards, like, in his rookie season. So I factor that in.
I like that. I like that.
I'm not just saying that because I'm an Elijah Mitchell fan, but like you gotta look at it like that. Now I know health is the issue. Health will always be the issue. After his knees got messed up, he's never been the same. So the question is, what would they get out of him in his last year of his deal, or do they move on from him because they have a plethora of?
I hope they keep him. I really hope Elijah Mitchell's the backup this year. Jordan Mason's the backup next year in his last year.
I like that. Then it's Isaac. They take their turns. Right. I like that. And I think that's what Bobby Turner is doing. I'm going to keep it a book.
Yeah. Look at this. We got Alex from Seattle Niners Faithful, one of the best chapters out there. He says, but Seattle Talk Radio is telling me this team underperformed under Pete Carroll and the roster is more talented than Baltimore's. Hell no. Not offensively, not defensively, not special teams wise.
Remember, Seattle doesn't necessarily... They hit well in the draft, but by drafting the later players, they draft types, right? But that changed. The NFL changed. So that same Pete Carroll, get the big guys on defense, that changed. The NFL got quicker and faster, right? And so it kind of like changed. There's no more longer the rules on how you hit in the secondary are different. So that boom got taken away, and I think that's what kind of like hurt Pete Carroll. So then he was just kind of like just piecing stuff together, but... they're definitely not the most talented. They're not more talented than the Baltimore Ravens. They never will be. The Ravens draft well every freaking season. Every season.
Yeah. That
can they put it all together? That's another question. But they draft well.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. Let's rank these. I think CMC is our number one. You said Elijah Mitchell's your number two in this entire division. Kyren Williams, three?
Healthy. I said healthy. Right. Because if we're going to factor in the health, like, you got to, like, he can literally be a number one on somebody else's team.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, let's look at the entire groups then. Let's rank them. Who's last? Who's the fourth-ranked class in the NFC West just with running backs? Who's your dead last one?
That's tough.
This is a good group.
It's a great group. I think for me it's going to come down to Seattle and Arizona.
Okay. So I have both those teams 3-4 as well. So we're in agreement there. Who's last? Or how do you want to – you got to come up with who's 3-4.
I got to go Cardinals last because it's Connor rookie, right? It's Connor rookie and then a rookie in Trey Benson and then the depth. So I'll go Cardinals last. I'll go Seattle third because a healthy Kenneth Walker is scary. I'm just going to call it like it is. And then I do like Zach Charbonnet. I think he has the ability to be a number one running back in the NFL.
I had the same order, and I said, you know, my notes say I would take Seattle top two over the Rams, but the Rams have better depth by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's just best one and two running backs, I would have put Seattle two.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of tipped my hand there. I had 49ers 1, Rams 2, but I think 49ers might be the best running back room in the NFL. I don't know who would be close to beating that.
No one. And then I think the league knows that. And that's why I said, you know, stop sleeping. Like, we gotta pray and hope that Elijah Mitchell is healthy. Like, because even with him not being healthy, you just told me that they have another running back that averages almost 6 yards per carry. And so that can be scary. And I think this is a year you'll see more Jordan Mason depending on the health of Elijah Mitchell. I think if Elijah Mitchell comes in healthy, that 1-2 punch is going to be lightning and thunder in a bottle. I can tell you that right now. We got a whiff of it. We got a little excerpt of that a couple of years ago. And then we had to shut down Elijah Mitchell in the playoffs. So we'll in an NFC championship game. So we'll see what happens. But Niners 1, Rams 2, Seattle 3. Arizona 4. And I'm sorry if you're a Cardinals fan and Arizona's been 4 in every episode, but it is what it is. You guys are drafting players and getting good players because you sucked. So hopefully you'll start the show.
Built that way for a reason.
It's built that way for a reason. Yeah.
We'll see. All right, let's go quarterbacks. This is going to be so much fun. I love this. All right, we'll try to go quick, but I'm excited. All right, Arizona first.
Are we going the whole rooms? Or are we going the whole rooms, or are we just going starters?
We're doing it all, baby.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
All right. Kyler Murray, Desmond Ridder, Clayton Toon. Those are your three quarterbacks at Arizona. Look, Wade's like, all right, I got to start click-clacking over here. That's okay. You do what you got to do, man. Kyler Murray's good.
Kyler Murray's great. He just had a bad injury. But when he's on the football field, he's a dynamic dual threat that can move and can throw. Don't get it twisted. Kyler Murray will stay in that pocket. But then it's when he moves that makes him his mobility makes him tough. And so, you know, that's a tough room. Kyler Murray's tough. He might be this is tough. This is a tough one.
This is hard. This is hard because
I know my ranking already. Didn't want to go through the rooms, I think I know my ranking.
All right. Well, let me go through the rooms for everybody else just that they're listening. CJ says, how big is the practice squad? 16. You get 6 vets, 10 first or second year players.
Correct.
Accrued seasons. All right. The Rams, they have Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Stetson Bennett, and Dresser Wynn. Yes, Dresser Wynn is a real human being with a real human name. The 49ers, you got Brock Purdy, Joshua Dobbs, Brandon Allen, and Tanner Mordecai. That's your undrafted free agent. And then you got Seattle, Geno Mordecai. Smith. They trade for Sam Howell. They don't have anybody else. They only have two. Actually, I think they may have added somebody last week. I think they added a quarterback. Let me just check real quick. Yeah, they added P.J. Walker.
Nice. Beat That's us the guy that beat year. Us, the Browns.
They just added him just like a couple days ago. So I did my notes saying to have them. So those are the three quarterback rooms. Wade, how do you want to handle this? You're in charge. His face. If you're not watching this live, you are missing.
This is tough because I think the Niners might have the worst quarterback room.
Wait, what? You think the Niners?
I think they got one of the best quarterbacks, but we said room, right?
Yeah. Okay.
After Brock Purdy, I'm not sold on Dobbs. If I'm not sold on Dobbs, I ain't sold on anybody else.
No.
Now, this is tough because I would say that the Rams got the best quarterback room. I think they got the best room.
I had them one.
Starting quarterbacks.
Stafford, right? Jimmy G.
Stafford, Jimmy G. Oh, my God. The fuck? Oh, sorry. You're good. Right? That's the Rams. Then it comes down to Kyler Murray and the crew. Who's his backup?
Desmond Ridder and Clayton Toon. I don't know who the number two is there, but they got Desmond Ridder for basically pitties.
Is where I think it gets interesting because I feel like the Niners, the Cardinals, and Seattle could compete for the number two spot. I think it's a fair game. So now I got to look at starting quarterbacks, right? Because I'm not sold on Sam Howell. He's not it. So I'm going to go with this. I think it's the Rams, the Niners, the Cardinals, the Seahawks.
Wayne, I had the exact same order.
Let's freaking go!
Let's go!
That's it right there. See, everybody thought I was going to have the Niners last. See what I did? That's why you got to watch the show.
Seattle's last for me. I'm not a Geno Smith guy. Now, I do think there's two Genos. There's Geno versus everybody, and there's Geno versus the
49ers.
That dude, like, if you go back, the only time the Seahawks have been competitive against the 49ers, just making it to the fourth quarter, is when Drew Locke was their quarterback last year.
Yeah.
Every time Geno plays, that game's out of control in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he can't. Now, Geno versus everybody else. And it's funny, I was listening to, I want to put a name to it. It might have been Mina Kimes' show, but she's a Seahawks fan. She had Geno ranked ahead of Brock Purdy just straight up. And I love Mina Kimes. I think she does a great job, but there's no way in the world you can ever watch. Geno's like 0-4, 0-5, I think, against the 49ers since Purdy showed up.
Now, come
she's
on.
She's amazing.
Man.
I'm a big Mina Kimes fan.
You could be amazing, but you got to leave the biases out. Like, I didn't even put the Niners number one.
And if it wasn't, I apologize. She's great. Not trying to throw shade here, but it's like, man, how in the world? Like, I think Sam Howell has a better chance to beat the Niners than Geno's play style is just too conservative. It's dink and dunk, take a shot. Dink and dunk, take a shot. But that's predictable.
It's too predictable.
And the Niners
there you go.
Destroyed that.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah, so I've got Rams 1, 49ers 2. The Stafford Jimmy G connection is pretty significant.
That's solid, man. Because that's solid.
I'm not a Jimmy G guy, but as a backup quarterback,
I mean, he's proven he could be a good backup. I always said he was a good backup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when he came in with the Niners, he looked like he was going to be a pretty decent backup. Then he got hurt.
Now, I got to total all these scores. I can't do it live on air. We're at an hour. But for next week's show, whenever you show up, we're going to have all of Wayne's rankings totaled.
Uh-oh.
And so it's going to be like a golf score, lowest score wins, and all that stuff. But just want to let you know, if you are an Arizona Cardinals fan, one, you probably don't listen to the show anyway. But two, don't listen to next Tuesday's show because it's going to be a massacre.
Ooh.
That golf score is going to be like what John Chapman's out there, man. We're playing for most beers drunk, not a lowest score wins. That's just the
got
way
you.
We do it. Most fun wins.
Remember last year you had to explain to me the golf scoring on this episode, on this type? Yeah, that joke was
lower
funny.
Score, the better.
Yeah, I got it now. I get it. I didn't get it then.
That's awesome. Man, what a fun show. Excited about this. I'm going to be on break, but I still got the 91 roster rankings. Those have been built up. I've been recording nonstop, so those will be out there for you. Wade, any other shows you got going this week?
Just got the usual BAM show. That'll be back. Hopefully, Nothing But Niners shows will be back this week, hopefully, as well. As training camp starts to ramp up, we got, Nitty Gritty on his way back. A lot of stars are going to start picking back up. Then I got a new podcast that I'm doing called Just Talking with one of my best friends in the world who happens to be a Cowboys fan, but we're keeping it more like Gen Pop. It's a Gen Pop show.
Is it out already?
It is. We're just releasing snippets. It's not a live show. We're just going to be releasing clips from the show.
So on Spotify, how do I find it?
It's not a podcast. It's not. We haven't released it at that. We're just putting out reels as right now to kind of build off of that. If people say they want more, the reels will be on YouTube, but they're on Instagram as of right now.
All right. So Instagram, Just Talking.
Just Talking, yo. It's fun.
Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. Just Talking.
This week's episode is going to be crazy. So it's Gen Pop. It's music. It's you name it. It's entertainment for sure.
All
shout
right.
out to VG.
Right now.
V. George. I can't believe I'm doing a show with a Cowboys fan. And he happened to throw that up in the junk, and I cursed. So I made sure I edited that part out because I didn't throw Niners in there. We're talking about Kurt Franklin on the BET Awards looking at, you know what I'm saying? You know, Coco. Like, that's what we were talking about. And he threw the Cowboys in there. But it's all good. You know,
I love it, man. I feel bad. Like my two closest friends that I've had for like over a couple decades are both Eagles fans. And I'm just like, what is it in me that I didn't get enough hugs as a kid to hang out with Eagles fans? It's just the way it goes. That's the way it goes. All right, Wayne, this was awesome. Next Monday, we're picking up our Johnny Dale, Wayne and Chapman series. Where we're revisiting the draft. And then we've got a Tuesday, John and Wayne. We'll do head coaches, DCs, OCs, and then we'll compile our ranks for the NFC West. So next Monday, Tuesday, going to be a lot of fun. But Wayne, go ahead and take us out, my friend.
Guys, it's been real. You guys are great. Training camp is right on the way. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.